stay tuned for So What's Your Story with Dr. Hank Rubicek and call in with your 2-minute story at 713-526-5738.
Christmas Eve. I was 20 and never met my grandparents. When we drove into the rural town, nowhere near an urban area anywhere in Mexico, I saw all these people I was related to. Maybe there were 15 or so hanging around, but I only knew a handful. I hugged them convincingly. It's a good thing I took an acting class. I saw an old man sitting on the porch, and I saw every wrinkle on his face as I came closer. He seemed sad, shed some tears, and said, "I'm sleepy." He didn't introduce himself. He didn't have to. I knew it was my grandfather. He died in front of me, peacefully, as I stood there meeting him for the first time and the last. It's a friend's story. To set the tone for your holiday tales on So What's Your Story, I'm listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. The coolest place on your dial, the place where we spotlight extraordinary tellers who share at least one thing in common. Each is an extraordinary person who engage us with stirring personal stories, and tonight and next week, those tellers are you. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, professor of communication at the University of Houston downtown, with co-host Roxy Russell, who'll be fielding your calls and serving them up to me. So call 713-526-5738 to get the party started with your 2 to 3 minute holiday stories. In the meantime, what I want to share with you first, before we get started, is a couple of other, I think, pretty poignant stories that will give you an opportunity to get a good sense of what happens when we tell stories around the holidays, especially with our families. This is one story that was shared by a young lady who I know that occurred on New Year's Day 2003. It was the day her mom died. And she writes, "I guess her last days, the days when she was conscious, were the hardest. Her bed was downstairs to make it easier for family and friends to visit her. I remember one morning, very early in the morning, my great aunt came over along with some cousins. You know what my mother asked me to do? She told me to make some coffee, because no one probably had any breakfast. I looked at her. Coffee? You want me to make coffee? I did, but I hated it. I was mad at my relatives for being alive and being able to drink coffee. I was angry with my mother, too. I couldn't believe she wanted me to make coffee, because I wanted to spend every waking moment with her. I made coffee. I heard the dog howl. I went back into the room. My mother was dead. I think she waited until I left the room to die. I've spent 8 years thinking about that day, that moment. I think about it every night. I don't know what to do with it, but I can't let it go." Lots of these stories sound sad. Something I mentioned last week when Jay Staley, who's a superb teller, was with me last week, is the fact that so many of our holiday stories, the ones that deal with family, that are anchored in family, seem really sad. And I think one of the reasons is that we just can't discard them from our minds. You know, we take photographs of happy things. We can throw them away if we want to. We can collect them, do whatever we want. But these stories are so poignant, so embedded in our mind, that oftentimes we just can't let them go. Just can't let them go. This is Hank Rubicek, and you are calling in your holiday stories at 713-526-5738. I know you've got some. They may be happy, they may be sad, but we want to hear them. It's tough to put together a story in 2 to 3 minutes, but we really do want to hear them, because when you share them, you connect with the rest of the world, you validate your lives, and frankly, you live forever. But right now, you're listening to So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 in Livingston. Roxy posted a terrific New York Times article on So What's Your Story Facebook very recently entitled Stories That Bind, and it really is a must-read. It's a series of studies that was conducted at Emory University, and the scientist, the social scientist, purports that most children and even most adults don't know much about their past. And when that's the case, it's hard to reconcile an understanding about the present. Abraham Lincoln believed that knowing who his grandfather was enabled him to know what he needed to become. What things don't our kids know? Well, things like where their parents grew up, where their parents went to school, where their grandparents grew up, where they lived, where they were born, what their father's report card looks like, when their parents first kissed. Was there any kind of an illness or something really terrible that happened in their family? The kind of oral history-inducing questions endorsed by a great organization called StoryCorps. You know, generally, kids who had answers to these types of questions had healthier self-concepts. They understood the resiliency, the tenaciousness and pride felt by family members. They learn about character and integrity, and these are attributes that we need to revive in mass quantities. So please give us a call at 713-526-5738. Right now, we're going to listen to a story that was given by Jay Staley, and it's about a new bike. And I want you to listen to this because it gives you an opportunity to think about a family story and a holiday mixed in with each other, and how each were inextricably related. Roxy's going to play that for us right now.
I remember one year I had asked for a bicycle for Christmas, and I asked for it in July during good bicycle riding season, and my parents said, well, maybe for Christmas you can get this bicycle. So I had 6 months to imagine what this gift would be like, and I built up my expectations. I dreamed about this bicycle. I knew what color it was going to be and the size of the tires and how the bell would sound and the bite on the bicycle, and I really wanted that bicycle. And by Christmas time, there was no way my father could find a bicycle in Columbus, Ohio that anywhere match my expectation of what that gift would be. And so it was very hard to hide my disappointment when I saw that bicycle and realized it wasn't what I wanted. Another year there was a big box under the tree, and when you're a kid you know that big is better. So I looked at that box and I saw my name on it, and I went, pulled that box finally out from under the tree, and I began to unwrap it, and I was really excited. A big box had to be a great gift, and I opened up that box, and I reached inside, and I pulled out a globe.
Oh,
a globe.
That's intellectual.
I thought, oh my gosh, yeah. Why would Santa put a globe in his sleigh and carry it all the way to my house so I could have a globe? And for years that globe sat in our room in the wing, and there were summers when I was bored and I would take that globe and I would spin it and I'd stick my finger on the globe, and where my finger stopped there would be some exotic name like Vladivostok or Borneo or Addis Ababa, and I would try to imagine what life was like in those places and what those people were like. And this past summer when I was in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia and I met those people and became friends with those people, I thought back 50 years to that gift under the Christmas tree that I thought was such a dumb gift, was such a stupid gift to get.
Right.
And I realize now that it was one of the best gifts I ever got at Christmas.
Yeah, it's all about you tonight. All about you. 713-526-5738 KPFT. Jay is a remarkable teller, and we're going to listen to him in a few minutes again because he's got another story which I think will really make an indelible impression on all of us this season. You know, the holiday season just is not only about getting together. We all know the importance of getting together. But, you know, it's sort of an opportunity to relinquish all of the ill feelings, all of the anger, all of the angst, all of the debilitating feelings that sometimes we feel about our families during the course of the year. There's something about telling a story. There's something about getting rid of those debilitating, even paralyzing thoughts that keep us from sustaining and building relationships with our families. It may sound very hokey during this time of the year, but you know, that's what it's all about. It's about giving, and it's about forgiveness. It's about making things right. There was a wonderful story that I remember a young man telling me about the real fear that we have over each other, and how he learned one Christmas not too many years ago about the importance of overcoming fear. He says he lived in an efficiency apartment in a Victorian home in Boston. He got a knock at the door, and it was a woman who asked for a cup of flour. Well, he said, my place is a mess, and I don't really do any cooking, certainly no baking, so I don't have any flour. There was a pause, and she then asked for a cup of sugar. Then he said, I don't have any sugar. I told you I don't bake. After a few moments, she asked for a cup of salt. At that point, he felt pretty uncomfortable and became very suspicious. Why is this woman asking me for things? What does she want? I don't know who she is. So I closed the door on her, hoping to see her no more. Well, the next day, he says, I returned home to find a handyman and a landlord replacing the window right above me. Turns out she busted the window and she jumped out of her apartment. She was fine. She broke a leg, if you want to call that fine, and she was rushed to the hospital. She tried to hurt herself even more. Obviously, she tried to kill herself, but it just wasn't high enough. It occurred to me that all she needed was to talk with somebody. She needed a friend. She didn't know how to ask for one, but she did know how to ask for flour or sugar, not a hug. It's something that we learn. It's a great parable. It's what we think about when we think about those wonderful fables written by Aesop that teaches us about the human condition. And sometimes we have to be thinking about people rather than animals. We can personify ourselves. It's all about you tonight. Please call in at 713-526-5738 KPFT. We want to hear your short stories about family, about holidays, things that you remember, things that went wrong, things that went right. Give us your memories, give us your thoughts, give us your feelings. We really do want to hear them. Believe me, they're not going any further than the fourth largest city in the country. That's all you're sharing them with. But we really do want to hear what you have to say. Again, that's 713-526-5738. Roxy, tell us a little bit. You've got a short story for us. I know that you had some story that you wanted to share, didn't you?
Yes, I do. I actually want to share my Christmas Day tradition that has been about the same since I can remember. Ever since I can remember, waking up on Christmas has always been the same. It has always started with my younger sister waking me up at 6 a.m., shaking me awake, saying, Santa came, Roxy, Santa came, Santa came. And once I finally got out of bed, we would run down the hall and we would shake our parents awake and we'd say, it's Christmas, Santa came, Santa came. And when we finally convinced them that Santa came at 6 a.m., which was very, very hard for them to accept, they would run downstairs and they would give us so much confusion. They're like, no, Santa didn't come. Santa hasn't come for you yet. And you have to go back to bed. And they would try so hard to convince us to go back to bed, but we wouldn't do it. And so finally they're like, oh, well, maybe Santa did come here and Santa did leave you something. But after we waited for a while, they told us to get on the stairs, sit on the stairs, and don't move until we say to come down. And it would usually, with much pain and excitement coursing through our bodies to see what Santa had left us, they would take one final picture of us on Christmas morning with our hair all crazy and our eyes bright with excitement. And this tradition of Christmas photos on Christmas morning still continues to this day, but not with the 6 a.m. Santa usually comes now around 10 a.m., but there is always a picture to prove that Santa came at 6 a.m. to bring us our toys.
That's great. Santa really did come. Now, was that Central Time that he came at 10 a.m.?
It's Santa, you know, has been coming later in the years since we all like to sleep in now, but it's still, yes, Central Time.
And now, I can't believe that no one out there has any stories, Roxy.
No one does.
You're upsetting me. I'm very upset.
I'm so sorry.
Folks have got to have stories out there. Give me a break. I mean, the single most important thing that you can do for your family, maybe the simplest of all, and that is to develop develop a family narrative, to know each other and to understand each other. And I can't believe that folks out there just don't have great stories about their families. There has to be stories that make you wonder whether or not you are connected to someone. And stories give us that sense of connection. You know, the best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. That's what Helen Keller says. And when it comes to thinking about these stories, these love stories around the holidays, I think that we have to be able to understand how those moments are critical. I once wanted to become an atheist, Henny Youngman said, but I gave it up because they have no holidays. So sometimes our holidays are religious affiliated and sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're a little bit more generic, but they're all filled with compassion and soul. And we're at the time of year right now where we watch shows like It's a Wonderful Life. We watch movies like Miracle on 34th Street because we want to dream and we want to hope. We want to do exactly what the lawyer says in that movie, and that is that common sense is telling us that it really is true, that we really can believe. That's what hope is. Hope is believing that common sense is true. And I want everyone to understand that when you have that kind of a thought and that kind of a holiday, you've got stories to be told. Tell a story. 713-526-5738. If you want to learn more about telling stories, maybe that's your problem, you can join us on Facebook on the So What's Your Story page and like us when you leave, and you can get to the monthly story swap held by the Houston Storytellers Guild on the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at a gorgeous, gorgeous venue, which is St. Andrew's House at 1811 Heights Boulevard. And you can check out our site at www.HoustonStorytellers.org for all of the fun happenings. Right now, let's go ahead and listen to Jay one more time, and then we're going to go ahead and take a caller.
My mother contracted meningitis. And I was living in New Mexico, and I came back to Columbus, Ohio. And when I arrived, she was in the hospital. She was in a coma. The doctors weren't real encouraged by the situation, and they were shocked when she came out of her coma after 7 days, and didn't give us a lot of hope about what might happen at that point. And it took my mother a long time to recover. She said things were jumbled up pretty well. I remember her when I asked her in the hospital where this problem began. She said it was in my east ear, and I said, in your east ear? And she said, well, maybe it was in my west ear. I can't remember, but the words and the descriptions and everything got jumbled up during the process of the coma. But in December, she finally got out of the hospital, and she got to come home for Christmas that year. And my brothers managed to get home as well. My brother Josh was 27, and Judd was 24. I was 21. And on Christmas morning, we put the burner under the coffee pot and got the coffee perking, and we woke our parents up and had sweet rolls, and we kind of spent some time over breakfast. We weren't so anxious to get under the tree and look at the presents that year. We were more inclined to rest and take some time and visit. And my father finally got up and went into the living room and plugged the lights in on the tree. And at that point, he was done with 8mm movies, and he was just taking still pictures with the 35mm camera. And he gave us the high sign, and my brother Josh stuck his head out of the door from the kitchen, and my brother Judd and I, and we jogged into our stockings as young adults and sat on the floor and opened up presents kind of casually. And at some point, we turned our attention back to the kitchen, and a coffee cup appeared around the corner, and my mother came into the room, and she sat down on the sofa. She took her spot there on the sofa and smiled at us. And all those years when we opened presents at Christmas, I'd look up at my mother on the sofa smiling at us as we tore open these packages. And I always wondered what she was smiling about, because she didn't have any presents. She wasn't opening presents yet. We were all opening our presents, but she looked so happy there on the couch. And it wasn't until that day when we were all adults and I looked up at my mom on the sofa and she was smiling, and I realized that the real gift to her was not anything that was under the tree. The real gift to her were the people that were in the room and the time that we spent together as a family around Christmas. And that year is when I realized that our real gift.
SJ, and talking about his mom, who just made an indelible impression on his life. And we have got Jeffrey on the line. Jeffrey, how you doing? You're on the air.
Thank you.
How you doing this evening?
I'm doing very well.
Excellent, Jeff. So what's your story?
My story is about wrapping paper.
Okay, let's wrap
it up. As I was growing up, there was always elaborate packages under the tree, wrapped immaculately with borders matching. You couldn't tell where one edge met or the other one left. Although there was always a array of packages left by Santa.
Ah.
All wrapped in the same paper.
Mm-hmm.
With names for each person. And through the years, we were going, how did this happen? How do we get these packages that are just wrapped by in one paper? And as I grew older, one day I spied behind the sofa. There was a roll of paper.
Oh.
Going, what? And I asked my mother, I go, why is this paper behind the sofa? She goes, well, Santa wrapped your packages with special paper just for the family.
Uh-huh.
And left the roll there.
Now, Jeff, did you realize this when you were about 23, or how old were you when you finally realized that the wrapping paper was behind the sofa?
I figure it was probably around 15.
Very good. That's great. Very, very good. Well, listen, thank you so much.
I have carried that tradition on with the children of mine and those of others that I sent up.
That's beautiful. And I guess the best way to end that story is to say that's a wrap, right? And that's the best thing to say.
That's it.
Merry Christmas to you, and thank you so much for calling in, Jeff.
Thank you, and to you too.
Thank you so much. You are listening to So What's Your Story with Roxy and Hank, and you need to call 713-526-5738 with your 2 to 3 minute holiday yarns. Thank you so much, Jeff. You know, we're going to be doing this again next week, and hopefully we're going to be doing it once a month, at least once a month on So What's Your Story, because we know that it's important to be able to call in your stories or ask stories or ask questions about stories, I should say, because so many of you have asked some really good ones over the last few months. You know, when we talk about stories per se, one of the things that I always like to say is that we are natural storytellers. So don't you dare think for a moment that you've got to be a professional to call in and offer your narrative. We've all got stories to tell. From the time that we're born, or at least as early as you can remember, there are episodes in your life that are worth sharing. Listening to your stories reminds us that we matter, and our stories help us live forever. You know, my wife Peggy gave me a little ditty by Garrison Keillor to share with all of you, and I wanted to read it because it's really beautiful. It's a lovely thing about Christmas is that it's compulsory, like a thunderstorm, and we all go through it together. And thank you, honey, for that piece, because, you know, I think that whether it's Christmas or a generic day dedicated to giving and feeling compassion, we want to be able to embrace and connect with one another through story, because story does help us to connect. It's important to know that sometimes when we think about these connections, we frequently don't necessarily want to remember them, but sometimes they emerge. They have to, for the same reason why we eat or sleep, because we have to. And we've got Lee on the line, and Lee, we're listening to you right now. You are on the air.
Well, I'll try and make this short and sweet. I'm 60-plus, and when I was growing up, in Illinois, central Illinois, farming communities, French-Canadian heritage, we had family gatherings. And I seem to have been the second oldest male in the family, and I got picked on. And the pick on was one of the most hellaciously wonderful things in my life. I got a Lionel train set about 1956 or 7.
I love those.
And I didn't get to touch it for almost 8 years.
Oh, brother.
Because
that's a tragedy.
All of my uncles and cousins, from every side of the family, it was bait to bring the rest of the family in. The other really nice thing about it was every year after that, I got at least one new car to add to the set. I have it today.
Good for you. I love those. I love those. And I just want you to know that you've got to be 60 plus to call into this show. We don't talk to anybody else.
Get over it. Let me continue this. My son is now 30. He has a son that's 3. So I'm twice he, and he's 10 times his son.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on a good Christmas to hit his child with it.
Sounds like you will.
And it hasn't been out of the box in 35 years.
Unbelievable.
So thank you for giving us a chance to enjoy the good times and the blessed times in our life. And I speak in Wiccan as blessed. Blessed be to thee and all that listen. Rest well. Bye.
Lee, God bless. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate that so very, very much. Thank you so much. You know, listening to you folks is something that brings an awful lot of wonder to my heart, because we've been doing the show now under different names for the last 7 years. And we've been bringing stories to you. And the idea of you bringing stories to us is something that, frankly, is pretty remarkable. There was another story that someone shared with me very recently, and I just wanted to give you a quick quip of this. He says, my dad died. I know we're talking about death a lot tonight, and I apologize for that. I'm just telling you what I've got here. My dad died, and he lied to me, he says. He told me that he'd be back, and this is on New Year's Eve, 2001. He told me he'd be back, that he wouldn't be in the hospital very long. My dad never lied to me. He came home at 5:30 every day. And I'm really mad that he isn't here tonight, starting a new year. But I want to tell all of you, he's speaking to his family at a party, I want to tell all of you that I sit on the front steps in front of our front door at 5:27 every day waiting for him to come home. And I thought that was a beautiful thing that I wanted to share with you. To our listeners, you want to keep listening to a great story, and we want to keep bringing them to you. Make sure that you call us next week. This is Hank Rubicek and Roxy Russell on So What's Your Story, one of the Power Hour programs on this Thursday night on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. You want to make sure that you make us a part of every day and make it a habit to tune in every Thursday at 10 p.m. and ease into the weekend right. Scooter is next with The Inner Side, wishing all of you the happiest of holidays. You want to make sure that you're good to each other. I'm Dr. Hank, reminding all of you that it is never too late to live happily ever after.